It was nearly a year ago that widespread abuse at Lakeview Neurorehabilitation Center in Effingham came to light. The facility is a treatment center for people with brain injuries and intellectual disabilities. Now Lakeview is shutting down. And as New Hampshire faces a future without Lakeview, families and state regulators are deciding where to send people with highly challenging behaviors. But as NHPR's Jack Rodolico discovered, the state has been facing these same tough decisions for more than 100 years.
Lakeview billed itself as a short-term treatment facility for people with complicated needs, sometimes autism and a mental illness, rare genetic conditions, and often a history of aggression. Despite that wide range of conditions, all those clients did have something in common, says Roy Gerstenberger of Community Bridges.
Lakeview has become a resort for people who have nothing else where other options are not available.
Community Bridges is one of 10 area agencies responsible for helping people with disabilities live independent lives across the state. Last year, those agencies served a majority of people, about 5,000, right at home in their communities. And that's the state's policy goal, to help people in the least restrictive environment possible. That's why Lakeview was a last resort. On the side of a mountain near the Maine border, it's highly restrictive.
A place like Lakeview is seen as an environment where somebody can be secure, where somebody cannot injure somebody else in public.
Lakeview has a total of 88 beds, but now it has only about 10 clients left. A few other companies like Crotchet Mountain and Easter Seals still work with people with such complex needs. Only 25 years ago, New Hampshire was a national model for the care of people with disabilities and mental illness. Now, we're shutting down a facility with a long track record of abusing and neglecting those same people. So, how'd we get from there to here? To understand that, you actually have to go back a little further and visit other facilities the state shut down.
So these were actually patient rooms at one time. The more violent patients.
Paul Shigori is a retired psychologist who worked at New Hampshire State Hospital in the 70s, when it was an asylum for people with mental illness. Shigori gave me a tour of rooms in the basement.
You can see the thickness of the brick walls and, I mean, the size of it, which is probably, what, maybe 8 feet by 12 feet, I don't know, one window.
And there was a second institution in New Hampshire called Laconia State School. That was the state-run facility for people with intellectual disabilities, people like Roberta Gallant of Concord. Gallant has become an outspoken advocate for people with disabilities. In 1956, her parents dropped her off at Laconia. She was 5 years old, and she'd be there into her 30s.
And they slapped and kicked us, pulled our hair, and they burnt some of the residents with their cigarettes, and the staff physically performed sex on me.
Abuse and neglect at the Laconia State School started to come to light around the time Gallant arrived, but its very existence was emblematic of a trend in care nationally.
Society did not want to deal with us, so they warehoused us in an institution.
That was a mindset that had actually begun with good intentions. Asylums were built as refuges in the 1800s and early 1900s, but by the mid-1900s, they were overcrowded and understaffed, like at New Hampshire State Hospital.
I can sort of feel some of the anguish of the patients who came here. Nobody came here because they were happy, and there are tens of thousands of stories of unhappy people that were here.
Things began to change when new drugs allowed people with mental illness to leave asylums. News reports also exposed inhumane conditions, shifting public sentiment. Between 1955 and 1980, more than 400,000 Americans left institutions. Lawsuits also drove public policy. Dick Cohen is the outgoing executive director of the Disability Rights Center, which uncovered abuse at Lakeview last year. Cohen also blew the whistle on Laconia in 1978. He helped file the lawsuit that would shut Laconia down.
What we alleged was that number one, they weren't getting treatment. Number two, they were also, in many instances, being actively harmed, which the state didn't have a right to do. And three, they could all be treated with the appropriate supports in the communities.
In the 1980s, the state backed this idea of community-based care, and New Hampshire became a national model for it. But support always lagged for people with co-occurring problems, like the people who'd ultimately wind up at Lakeview. And then money started to dry up. First federal funding in the 80s, and then state funding in the 90s and early 2000s. In stepped a private company called Lakeview. It opened in 1992 as a facility for people with brain injuries. But as public money continued to be cut, Lakeview accepted the people New Hampshire had the hardest time serving, often people with both a mental illness and an intellectual disability. Then in 2009, the legislature cut funding for an acute care psychiatric unit at New Hampshire Hospital.
That event was pretty significant, but I don't think we realized how significant that event was until time passed.
Health and Human Services Commissioner Nick Tumpas.
We went back and we looked at the data and saw that for the five-year period leading up to November 2009, we had 12 admissions into Lakeview. In the roughly 5 years since the closure of that unit, we've had 77.
And it isn't just New Hampshire that has struggled to meet the needs of people with the most complex behaviors and conditions. Until recently, Lakeview had clients from across the country, even as far as Hawaii. The next steps for New Hampshire aren't entirely clear. Since Governor Hassan shut down new admissions to Lakeview last fall, people who would have wound up there are instead in and out of nursing homes, psychiatric facilities, and jail. Others, though, are finding themselves in a more hopeful place. But as we'll hear in tomorrow's story, that place is not without controversy. For NHPR News, I'm Jack Rodolico.